All right. Father said, "Hello, Team Triland and spouses. What a wonderful service for the departed last weekend. Again, thank you for all your love, prayers, and support. Please continue daily remembering all of them. What shall we discuss? How about all your efforts that you have been making personally on yourselves, your daily reflections of the good things and the bad things that you need to work on? Many of you have been daily reflecting inwardly at the end of your days. You ask me to help you improve and change, and I am so very proud of you for fighting your own natures and overcoming them. Congratulations. Do not stop trying. Now, what of the leadership in the church? Many hearts are disappointed with the changes that have taken place over the past few years. HS has been trying to change their hearts to see that mainstream Christianity has no place in our church, but they are not listening. How many longtime children of mine have left or are thinking of leaving because it causes such an irritation before the services. I wish no one to ever leave. Therefore, I will move their hearts more by showing them the error of this way. They look at the numbers, but none of these guests truly understand our faith. This is the apostles and brothers' fault for not teaching. We are not here to make everyone feel good. We are trying to raise the bride of Christ. Tell me, would you want to marry someone that does not understand and accept you for who you are? Would you want to marry someone that is clueless about your heritage and beliefs? I think not. But the brothers believe that this is acceptable in my eyes. It is not. I will ask all of you to step up. If you see a guest in the congregation, can you please make contact with them? Try to befriend them. Ask them over for dinner, and then all of you can teach them. You all know your faith, my will, and your hearts are filled with love and compassion for all. Please. Now please stay the course. We will start to learn some new things at these meetings in the future. I will not steal Triland's thunder today. I am excited that he will be adding this to the monthly meeting. Have I intrigued you? Good. It is important that all of you continue to learn and build your understanding. Let us look back to 6 years ago when these meetings started. Have you learned anything over that time? You sure have. I have enjoyed watching all of you learn and grow. I am so excited when all of you share your experiences with each other. You have all laughed and even cried together at these meetings, which is why this time is so important. Thank you for making the effort to join the call each month. I have blessed all of you for this effort, and I will continue to bless all of you for the future. Your father is proud of all of you and loves you very much. And I forgot to give everybody his love, Jesus' love, and HS's love, and I now give you all my peace." Does anybody have any questions or comments about that? Okay. Lightstar had a dream a couple weeks ago, and I asked that she would please share that information with us. So, Lightstar.
Thank you. In my dream, I was taken to an execution with an electric chair, and I was standing in front of the person that was going to be electrocuted, and I saw the person, the gentleman that was going to flip the switch, and just before it was going to happen, I was not able to watch it. And so because I was unable to watch this take place, I turned around. And in the room, there were people that were there to view the execution. And as I was looking at the room full of people, I saw a dark figure standing in the back. The dark figure started working its way through the room, and so I moved closer to it to see what it was. And as I got closer, I noticed that it had a container that it was dipping its hand into, and it would dip its hand and mark these people on their shoulders. And only a couple people didn't get marked, but everybody pretty much was marked, all the way up to the person who flipped the switch, the guard that had was standing next to the person being electrocuted that was going to take them away from the chair. Then I was taken from that room and moved to a hanging, and the same thing at the hanging, from the back of the crowd all the way to the front, then to a beheading, and the same exact thing happened. All the people that were there to watch it happen, all these people were being marked the same way. Then I was taken to like one of these big coliseums where they would put somebody in with lions. And as the person was being taken through the tunnels, there were these guards. And as they were dragged through the tunnels, the guards were being marked by this figure. And I'm watching this take place, and it's starting to kind of compute for me. And the people in the, I mean, this is a huge arena, so all these people are being marked too. And the final one that I was taken to was actually an abortion. And the person, the woman that was being called up, the lady that set the appointment up was marked. The nurse that took her back was marked. The friend that was with her to support her and help her through her abortion was marked. The mother was marked. The nurse to assist the doctor and the doctor were marked. And then when the baby passed away during the abortion, she stood next to me and she said, "Not one of you would stand up for me. Not one of you would stop this." And then it was like I was sucked from this room and taken through all of these scenarios again, but I was seeing them as the person being killed. And it was almost like I was making eye contact with these people, like the guards and the people in the crowd, and the fact that all of them stood by and witnessed and watched, and not one of them stood up for me or helped me or tried to stop it. And so they were all participants in murder, and they were all marked with murder. And so even though they did not themselves flip the switch or, you know, hang that person or abort that baby, they did participate in the murder, therefore they are murderers. And it was a different level of understanding and a new depth for me to be able to pray for those in eternity, because we've learned now that they're going to different sub-realms. And so you're going to move to a different realm and go, "I've never murdered anybody." But yet they're learning they did. And, you know, what kind of participation in sin are we participating in that we have no idea about? And I know for my husband and I, we've learned that my husband was receiving movies from somebody at work that he was ripping from the internet. And we're not going to allow that in our house anymore because it's theft. And I've just put that on my children. I mean, this one particular dream has opened us up to understanding what we're bringing into our home and putting on our kids and on ourselves. And it's the sin that you don't even realize that you're doing or participating in. And that's what these souls have gone through. So that's it.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Lightstar?
You okay? That sounds like a really heavy experience.
Yeah, it was very heavy. The way I had computed it was almost like when you're first an adult and you get your first bill and you open up that bill and you're like, I think I want to put this back in the envelope and I want to go back to my parents' house and be a kid for a little bit longer.
Anybody else?
I am amazed at that depth of understanding that Father is given to us through Lightstar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely amazing. It is something that how would we ever know that? And then you look at the importance of knowing that, because our empathy now for all souls in eternity now They went into eternity with probably numerous things that they participated in and didn't even know. And, you know,
correct.
Murder is obviously bad and stealing is bad. But it's if we passively just accept, that's a wonderful understanding for us.
Yeah, I think it gives a new level of prayer, an opportunity to pray for the soul. But I think the most profound thing when I first heard the story was that, oh my gosh, I got some housekeeping to do. And not even because I am actively participating in sin that I can think of, but it's those little ways, right? Like what people sometimes call white lies or little sins or justifiable, like to really hunker down and look at what am I doing every single day and what am I bringing in every day and who am I associating with every day and what am I allowing to happen in a very, you know, passive way. And so it's a call to us to not be passive about this stuff because it has profound impact for eternity.
It sure does. When Lightstar shared this with me, I looked at Father and he said, no one is excused when they participate or accept a sin that someone else is acting on and you watch it. And even though you didn't commit it, you did participate in it because you were there watching. For me, that changed the entire dynamic of the way I'm living my life. If I have the opportunity to step in when somebody's bad-mouthing somebody else, I now do that. We're going to talk about judgment. That's one part of today's meeting. But for us, we often have said to Father, please forgive us for the things that we're not even aware of. And now we can add this as well. Maybe, Father, we participated in something that we didn't know we were participating in. Or we condoned something that we didn't know we were condoning. Please forgive us for that. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Lightstar.
Yeah.
I wanted to just bring this to everybody's attention. I was talking with Starlight after service, and she was sitting there for a moment after the service ended, and I kind of looked at her, and I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah. I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm sitting in this moment of forgiveness. I don't know what the word is. Am I basking in it? Because this is probably one of the most purest moments that we can sit in as a soul, right? I said, it sure is. And she kind of looked at me and said, why don't we all value that more? And I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention. Do we, at the end of receiving the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Communion, do we rush back to our seat and rattle off a thank you, and then we're back into our life? Or do we actually stop for a moment? Even the evangelist this morning made the point that words mean things. You can't just brush through the Lord's Prayer, which I'm happy to report that now as I'm kneeling in front of Father, I see some of you kneeling in front of Father too during that time. And we're all looking at him, concentrating on what those words are because they really do bear meaning for our hearts and souls. The other thing that I wanted to share is a couple weeks ago, I was in front of Father. It was just before Holy Communion was going to be dispensed, and I grabbed his robe, and he gets angry at me when I praise him because he says, that's self-serving, boy, because you are me. So I try not to praise him in that kind of a way, but I said to him, you're kind, and you're good, and you're loving, and you see man in a way that I can't fathom. And you have a strength that I know I need. Could you please, and I looked at Jesus, I said, could you please put those virtues in the communion wafer for me from this point forward? And Jesus said, yes, we can. So I'm telling all of you, from this point forward, when you have Holy Communion and you're on the cusp of it or during the week, you can ask Father to give you a virtue of something that you need. I know we do it in our meditation session, but I can tell you, the communion wafer, the minute I ingested it, I could actually feel those virtues. It was crazy. We have such an opportunity. The Holy Communion has not been explained or described to our brothers and sisters with the depth that Father has revealed to us. And I want to make sure that all of us understands it, what the forgiveness of sins is, how important that is, but also the communion that we don't want to cut ourselves short. We already always get 50 times the strength, and then sometimes Jesus will give us 100 times the strength because of what we're going through. I know that all of us have been wrestling recently with some personal issues. Some difficult financial things have hit people's hearts. There's been demon attacks. There's just been health issues like crazy across the team. Father's aware of that, and the Holy Communion can actually help heal us as well. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
Liz, thanks for sharing.
Sure.
A lot we got to
work.
That's
why you get paid the big bucks. Yes, we do. We do. I wanted to discuss a topic, judgment. We've heard it before. We've discussed it in other team meetings. I wanted to break it down a little bit different this time. I actually pulled up the dictionary.com definition. What is judgment? One, it's an act or instance of judging. Two, the ability to judge, make a decision, or form an opinion objectively, authoritatively, and wisely, especially in matters affecting action, good sense, or discretion. In other words, a man of sound judgment. Three, the demonstration or exercise of such ability or capacity. For instance, the major was decorated for the judgment he showed under fire. The forming of an opinion, estimate, notion, or conclusion as from circumstances presented to the mind. Our judgment as to the cause of his failure must rest on the evidence. Number five, the opinion formed. In reference, he regretted his hasty judgment. Number six, the law. A judicial decision given by a judge or court. B, the obligation, especially a debt arising from a judicial decision. C, the certificate embodying such a decision and issuing against an obligor, especially a debtor. And seven, a misfortune regarding an inflicted by divine sentence for sin. I want to make the statement here. There is a difference between a judgment and a statement of fact. Here's the difference, such as, I wish those people would work harder to help me. This is not a judgment. But if you said, I wish those stupid idiots would work harder to help me, this is a derogatory comment and a judgment of their abilities. Does everybody see the difference?
Yeah.
This is something that we need to measure ourselves. A couple weeks ago, the minister holding the service, I think it was actually last weekend, made the statement, don't judge me because I sin different than you do. I thought that was so profound because none of us is sinless. And just because we look at somebody else and see their situation, we think that we have the right to make a comment about it or judge them in some way. We don't. And usually, personally, I found when I'm making a judgment, it's probably something that I need to work on myself. And I throw it on that other person because they remind me of how human I am and how much I actually need to work on. So I'm going to pick on them to make myself feel better. Anybody else do that? Maybe I'm the only one. Right?
No.
Yes.
Right. So I'm going to ask everybody from this point forward, these are the things that we need to talk about. With Father, let's be aware of the things that we say. Let's be aware of what the thoughts are that we have. Father certainly is. And there's been many times where I've caught myself, I look at Father and go, well, that was a judgment, put that on my card. And his response is, I already did. Shoot. Right? But we still have to answer for it. Does anybody have any questions about this topic?
I don't necessarily have a question, but I have a comment because
no,
this has come up a lot. Come up a lot recently in the assignments that I've been given. And when working with somebody to solve a situation or to build a strategy around a situation, you know, oftentimes you have to talk about what the situation is. And I am finding that many people are confused by the difference between you know, statements of fact and judgment. And one of the things that has come through the Holy Spirit, and ironically that did come up in the last 3 weeks, like, don't judge someone because they sin differently than you, but also the difference between judging and reporting. So, and it often comes up, and a lot of people who talk to me often say, I'm not judging, I'm just reporting. And so the metric for that is the statement of fact doesn't change the way that you feel about somebody and how somebody else is going to feel. So if I'm telling Tryland, if I'm reporting something, then it shouldn't change the way that he feels about that person. You know, you're judging somebody when you're qualifying, you're connecting dots that aren't there. You're qualifying their actions, their motivations, and you'll feel an actual change in how you feel about that person. So I just wanted to put that there because sometimes that metric, you know, you were saying we have to measure. So one way to see what that metric is it changing the way you feel about that person? Are you being manipulative? Even when you're reporting, you can be manipulative. When you share this information and you're reporting it, they should be statements of fact. Are you trying to change the person you're talking to, their opinion of that person or of that situation? Because that it's so tricky, these statements of fact, manipulation, and judging. Depending on what the heart's attitude is, they can look very similar, but they're not the same.
Thank you. I just want to clarify something. Hold on one sec. When I made the statement that for the Holy Communion, you can ask for virtues in the communion, this is not just for my team. This is for anybody. Anyone that's in the service, anybody that's having their sins forgiven and would like to partake in the Holy Communion, okay, this is not just for our teammates or spouses. This is for anybody. You can even share this information with your family members, extended family members, your friends, people in the congregation. You can say to them, have you ever thought of asking for Jesus to give a little extra something? Okay? Go ahead, Q.
Concerning that topic, and we can bring our prejudicial attitude when we're talking about a situation where we're stating the facts. And it's interesting that in the past few months, I've been working with someone and potentially partnering with them. And I kept resisting talking to other people about him because I went over in my mind what I was going to say. And it was going to either I was excited about it and I was going to say the positive things, or I wasn't excited about it and I was going to bring up the negative. And no matter what I would have said, someone could have gone along with the way that I was feeling. And after listening to Brilliance say what she just said, if we aren't careful, every time we talk about someone, even if it's fact, we could be stating it in a way that shows our judgment. As minimal as it might be, it still could be, and then lead someone to a judgment. Wow, that's tough.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. And to your point, so while I was having these conversations specifically about this, the Holy Spirit provided a little bit more clarity in stating we have the opportunity to be a blessing or a curse to every situation, every conversation, every interaction. We have an opportunity. Well, it's not even an opportunity. We are either serving God or we are serving Satan. There's no in between. And it's even when our own needs, like we are, this team especially, and people who dig into Scripture and getting to know what God wants and who He is and what His will is, we are either serving Him by doing what His will is, or we're serving our own needs and our own desires. And, you know, because it happens to me as well. Like, I know that I'm not supposed to, you know, do certain things or say certain things, and I get caught up in a heated moment. In that heated moment, I'm serving my own desire. My own desire has become greater than Father's desire, and I am serving my own desire. And so when I'm not serving Him, I am serving Satan. So this is serious stuff. And even though we know what to do, they're like, well, how do you measure it, or how do you keep from doing it? Because I have found that Satan likes to work on that line. You know, sometimes he works in the extremes. But sometimes he just pushes us from that fine line of serving God to not even noticing it. And so some of the ways that the Holy Spirit has described in these conversations I've been having is, are you a blessing or are you a curse to that situation, conversation, or to that person's life? Because that's kind of easier to figure out. Because in that moment, you're either serving God or you're serving Satan. And I get goosebumps because yeah. I got goosebumps the first time I heard the Holy Spirit say this, and I get it every time because it sounds so simple and so profound, but it's very complicated sometimes in different situations. Because we as human beings, I mean, shoot, especially me and Q, probably you, because we're salespeople, I can sell myself on anything. I can justify anything. It's as simple as, am I serving God or am I serving Satan?
Perfect. Thank you. Anyone else have any other comment? Okay. I thought I would run you spouses through how to POG if your spouses have not run you through it yet. It is not that complicated. POG is the power of God, is what that acronym stands for. There are a couple different ways that you can administer POG. The first one is through a handshake. It comes out of the palms of our hands. It can also come out of our heart. It's actually in your heart. That's where Father placed it. And it'll travel down your arms, and you can project it that way. When would you use POG? If you know somebody's down, somebody's having a hard time, there's no reason why you can't walk up to them and give them a handshake. It's even better if you actually give them a hug, because then you will actually envelop them in POG. If you feel that you're kind of down yourself, you can POG yourself. We, as the team, we change our light blue energy to a white, and we release it from our heart outward from ourselves. Does anybody have any questions? It's really not that complicated. But I'll answer any questions. Please don't think I'm thinking you're stupid because you're going to ask me a question. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I had to remote POG somebody today. So,
okay.
You know, I just pictured the energy.
Jim?
Good. Yeah.
It's Danielle.
Yes.
Hi. I have a staff that has, like, that ball of POG on the top of it.
Okay.
Is that something that I can use as well?
Yes.
It would be? Okay. And not just for myself. I can use that if I need to use it. I wouldn't want to use that on somebody else, though, right?
You can, yes. It's Father's love is basically what the power of God is. It's His love.
Okay.
So, yes, you can throw that love at somebody else and flick it
okay.
on them.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure.
For people who haven't used it before, and if you haven't had a chance to listen to all of our previous conference calls, I think a lot of us, when we first got POG, we would use it in a very aggressive way. And and we've learned and we've discussed this, so in case no one's talked to you about it, because, you know, sometimes you forget what you know and you don't know what you don't know, it is Father's love. So it comes from a place of love, and it becomes more powerful and more efficient and more effective when you've made yourself right. So not using this to, you know, that person stinks, so they need to have this. When you send it from a place of peace and love and with full thoughtfulness that this is the power of God in the truest form of love, that's when this works the best.
Thank you. That's correct. We don't POG out of anger. We don't POG because we feel someone's being a jerk. We're going to fix their red wagon by pogging them. No, that's not how this works. Okay.
We used to think that's what it was.
Yes, we did.
Well, that's true, but if you think of it this way, there are times on the road when we sort of witness road rage. Well, I will absolutely pog in that situation because evidently that person is on edge, and I'd rather take that away.
Correct.
But
that's different. We're just saying we don't do it out of rage.
Right.
Right.
You can't
exactly.
be the rager.
Yes.
If you're raging, then you got to
right.
reground yourself first.
Yes. Right. You can exactly. you can smother the ragee, but don't be the rager.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing what it does, too. If you just let it go, if you give somebody a hug, a couple people in my circle, when I give them a hug, they'll get a little lightheaded and they'll look at me and I'll just smile. That's all Father. That's all that is. My wife is usually on to me. If she's kind of down, I'll just put my hand on her and she'll look at me and go, it's not going to work. Oh, it will. She said that the other day. What do you know? I know a little bit like my father, just a little. It's all good. Any questions on POG? Okay. I don't have a lot for the meeting today, so we're probably going to end early. I was at somebody's house, and I don't know about you guys, but for me, and when I'm in the truck and I'm driving, all of a sudden I get this idea, and I want to be able to write it down, but I don't have a pad of paper, and I don't want to kill anybody. So I found an app called Speech Notes. It's for Droid and iPhone. And if you just speak, it's almost like a text-to-talk dealio thing or a talk-to-text. It actually creates the note for you with whatever you say. It's a pretty cool app. So if you guys want to download that for yourselves, have at it. And then
what's it called again?
Speech Notes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then during Father's message to us, he had mentioned that we were going to start doing something new next month. I had a thought that came across my heart a couple weeks ago, and it's based on religions. There's so many different ones in this world to the point where I know a little bit about very few religions. I know a lot about some specific religions, but I don't really know a lot about all of them. And I was going to take it on myself to just learn on my own, and then HS gave me this thought that we should probably as a team learn about these religions together. So I asked Professor Brilliance and Blazar to pick a religion every month, and the two of them will present it to us for 5 to 10 minutes, and then we can ask any questions that we want of them. If we want them to delve deeper into a specific religion, you at that time can just say, can you bring us a little more information next month too? They'll select the religions for us. I told them it's their baby. The two of them can choose. So the religion they picked for next month, because it's a pretty big one, is Islam. So we'll learn about Islam next month. Does anybody have any questions?
No questions on that. Just a quick comment, Trylan, if it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I just want to apologize first and foremost to Father and to you and to the team for being late. I saw the meeting note change and thought my phone would adjust for it, and it did, and I promptly ignored it, thinking it was daylight savings time and something was wrong, so I apologize.
No problem.
To you all.
You are forgiven.
Thank you.
I also wanted to open this up. If you think HS prompts you to bring something as an agenda to the team, or there's something that you would maybe like to see us discuss, I've said it in the past, please send me an email. I start prepping for the next meeting. I actually start tomorrow is when I start prepping for the next meeting, the day after we finish, because HS is usually giving me ideas, or you'll contact me with some experiences that you have and we'll add to the agenda. If there's something that, even I'm talking to the spouses too, if there's something that you would like us to discuss or you would like us to go back over, everything is open. Okay. There's no judgment. There's no finger pointing or, hey, why don't you go listen to this recording? We have the time. I want to bind our hearts together a little bit more. I'm kind of disappointed that I don't have anything more. So I'm going to open up the floor here. If anybody would like to share anything, I don't care what it is. I know that a lot of you have been having some hardships lately. We've been praying for each other. If you feel that you want to share some of the hardships that you've been going through with the team so they can pray specifically for you, that's good. Carry on. I open the floor to anybody right now. Go ahead.
No hardships here. Just a quick question to see if anybody else is experiencing this past week. I've been really hard-pressed to start understanding when the Holy Spirit is prompting me to help someone in a more in the physical world. So when you see someone struggling, how do you know when the time is to go up and actually help someone who might be struggling that in any manner, no matter what it is? I'm driving down the highway, heading to work. I saw a vehicle that had probably spun out, crashed into some trees, and there was likely at least one person dead in the car. And there were two cars already pulled over on the side of the highway. It was raining out, and they were already there. There's two guys there already helping. And at that point in time, I froze, and I can tell you I felt horrible about it because I didn't know what to do, and I just kept on driving. So that made me feel pretty miserable and lousy. Of course, you try to tell yourself why you didn't do it and why it's okay that you didn't do it, but I knew that I had stuff in my truck that could probably help, and I also told myself that, you know, the cops are only probably a few minutes away, they're going to help. So I've been struggling here, and he's pressed me a couple other times on it too, just as small things, you know, seeing an elderly gentleman in his car, and he's got his eyes shut, and he's got his door open, and, you know, do you stop and help him and say, hey, do you need a helping hand? In certain situations, yes, you want to stop and help him, but then there's other situations where you just don't know the circumstances. So it's hard for me. It's been difficult for me for some reason to really hear what, to understand if HS is telling me or if I'm just seeing it and, I don't know. I'll throw it out to the team for feedback, but it's something I've been struggling with this week and probably the last 2 weeks.
Sounds like to me you do know, because you have your heart feels it, your gut feels it, and you're struggling with it. You're wrestling with yourself tremendously with it. So it sounds to me like you're having the strong impressions about it, and you're feeling everything that you're being told to do. It's you that you're wrestling with. And so...
So I need to get out of my own way.
Yeah.
Basically.
You're wrestling with Jeremy.
He is a stubborn ass, by the way, just in case you
know. Not a judgment.
But I don't think it's always that simple. I want to reiterate, I 100% fully am in oneness with what Lightstar just said, 100%. However, understand that it's not always that simple. All of us have been given servants' hearts, and all of us want to help. And again, there's a difference between helping and enabling, and not that your particular situation would have been enabling anyone who's wrapped around a tree on the side of the road. However, there's some things I have found with the people that I'm working with and them wanting to help other people. One, understanding where the desire is coming from, and it does sound that a lot of these are coming from the Holy Spirit, but we have to pray about it, because sometimes Satan wants us to get involved in stuff that's not for us. And it's because it's not because we don't have a desire to help, but we may not be able to help. And I say this, and I'm not even sure I can put it into words, but I'm working with two people right now who want to be so incredibly helpful, but they don't have the skill sets, the perspective, the spirituality, the strength, the patience. They're wanting to help so that they don't have to work on their own stuff. And this might be completely different than what you're talking about. Since you brought this to all of our attention, I mean, 100% agree that you pray for discernment, pray for clarity, and ask God to open your ears and open your eyes wider. Tell him to speak louder if it's something specific he wants you to work on. There are other situations, though, where we do have to use discernment. And I'll tell you, it's happened to me probably 3 times since the beginning of the year, where I felt like it was a call to help, but then I got involved, and when I look back, it wasn't. It was more of my own ego and pride, wanting to get involved in something that, you know, because I'm such an expert at everything. That's the egotistical pride. So you might be stubborn. The Heidi side of me is a little bit like, I can fix everything. So it's not as simple. It's not always as simple as, I think you really do have to, you know, dig down and understand where is it that you can help? What is it that you're asked to being specifically doing, you know, to help? And so I think just you asking the question is already pulling in the spiritual help that you're going to need moving forward. And by the way, the you suck mantra that's going through your head, know that that's Satan, and tell him to get behind you. You've already asked for forgiveness from Father for the things that you didn't do that you should have, and vice versa. Tell him that you did the very best, not that you want to argue with Satan, but if he's coming back, remind yourself when you look in the mirror and said, I did the best that I could in that moment with the decision that I had. If I'm supposed to do better in the future, I will. Regret is one of the hardest human emotions to get away from. Do not let Satan anchor you or pull your peace or distract you from the next opportunity you have to help somebody.
Perfect.
Will do. Thank you.
I'll also say this, that when I see somebody's on the side of the road, my first impression is I should stop and help these people, but then I've also heard where people are getting sued by these people when you go and help them. So go with your gut feeling. We're not going to automatically just jump and help everybody. I mean, that sounds really bad, and it kind of goes against everything we just said. I'm just saying, be cautious. If you are inspired to help the person, that is HS. That is. So don't hesitate on that avenue. Okay? Anybody else? Comment they want to share? Struggle? Solution to the world's problems? Go. Go now.
I'm still not a millionaire, so that could be a prayer too, maybe.
Okay. Smite Trisus with riches.
How are you doing, Trisus?
Oh, it's been fun. The body is enjoying the warm weather in general. I'm going to be going on a six-hour work day now for about 90 days. I can't work a full day anymore. So I was all bogged out about that, but Father said that this is not the end. This is a beginning. He wants me to use the downtime during the day to meditate more. So, and run energy, try to heal the body. The body, I think, is healing, but I physically can't sit up anymore. I even work from a recliner. So the bosses are on board, work's on board, church and disability is on board. Everybody's all happy about it. So I'll be working 6 hours a day for the next 90 days to see if I can get stronger. So guess say your prayer about that.
Well, now you got all of us on board. We're praying for you.
Thank you.
Hey, Trilant, was it last meeting that Father's message was that come and see him and he'll share with us?
Yes.
New response. Okay. So, and I know I've told a couple of people about this, but I don't think I've shared it with the team, but it's a really neat experience. So I'd love to share it.
I'd like to hear it because I'm not getting anything. So please share. Maybe it'll inspire.
Right. So, this was an interesting situation because I realized that, in my dailies, I always pull in cosmic energy. So evidently, I've been meditating every single day, which is really cool. But I thought, okay, since I'm meditating, then I'm going to go and actually do some things. And I'll share the fun part with you just because it was a cool thing. So I'm driving in my van, and I looked at Gabriel. I said, you know, I should probably meditate. He nodded his head, and I said, so what should we do? And he just looked at me, and I said, hey, let's go to the dojo and let's spar. And I said, oh, let's go, all of us. So we're there. And, you know, this is me, and I like to have fun. So we did have fun, and it was a neat experience. And we did a lot of different things. Enough about that. Then I realized, oh, yeah, that's right. Father said that we should go and see him, and he would share with us if we have some specific things that he'd like us to work on in eternity. So I said, let's go. And there, we're in front of him. And Gabriel's to my right. And I asked Father, so what would you like me to work on? Or who would you like me to work with? And he said, the hopeless. And I said, okay, that makes sense. Because a while ago, Brilliance asked our team to look at our gifts. And what I realized, one of my overarching gifts is the ability to look at the positive in every situation. And I couldn't make that up. It just happens. And I've been like that since I've known anything. And I never really realized, but it's a beautiful gift. Well, that's hope. And then when we receive our lead angels, and it's Gabriel, the manager of hope, it's just so awesome. So I'm standing in front of Father, and he said, I want you to work with the hopeless. And it makes perfect sense. And so I look at Gabriel, and then I look to my left, and Apostle James has joined us. And I thought, okay, yes, the Apostle of Hope. And when I looked at him, he looked young to me, and I thought of bright eyes. And then I thought of bright eyes, bushy-tailed, and young, okay? And so concerning that, I'll segue for a second. I was talking with Lightstar, and I told her the story, and she said, bright eyes, bushy-tailed, and full of hope. And I just had chills. It was so beautiful. I thought, and I said, is that the statement? I didn't know that. But it's so beautiful how it all fits together. And Father has it all planned. So the three of us are standing there, and then I said, oh, who are the hopeless? And then Father gave me a picture of who they are. And it can be almost anyone. The specifics that he gave were those who are always around people, but they're never with the people. They're all by themselves. They don't fit in, and they're always alone and lonely. Those at the end of life, their spouse is gone, their children are gone, and they're alone, and they have no hope. Those who are homeless. I mean, if you can only imagine the hopelessness that they would feel. And then it just kept going and going and going. So almost anyone can be hopeless at different times in their life. And so then we went into eternity, and it was just like Starlight has explained it, that it was a huge realm of all these people. And I knew that all of them shared hopelessness, but they were so different in so many other ways. They were there because they shared that hopelessness. And so we looked at them, and it went on and on and on. And so my first inclination was to give them hope. And so I held my hands out, and I stopped. And I looked at Gabriel, and I said, oh, you're the manager of hope. You're the one who can give hope. And then Father said, no, all three of you can give hope. And I thought to myself, James is in eternity. Is this his first opportunity to do this? It just boggled my mind. And so then we all stood there, and I looked at them. We held our hands out, and we basically pogged them with hope. And we just filled the whole realm with hope. And it felt so wonderful. And you could just see that things changed with them. And then we were in the throne room with Father again, and I said, thank you, and help us to know when we need to do this. Well, now, every single night in my prayer, when I get to praying for the departed, that's the first group, and then I just kind of dwell in that for a time and remember all of them. And I don't, and you can't put a limit on it, so it's not like you pray for five people. I don't know how else to pray except all of them. And then you see some. But it was really beautiful and how it all came into being. But I was absolutely amazed and thrilled when Lightstar said, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and full of hope. Because it's so clear that Father has all of this worked out beautifully. Thanks for letting me share.
Sure.
That's
Thank
awesome.
You.
That's awesome. Yeah, thanks for sharing.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Since we have like 9 more minutes, I'm interested, because I did want to ask, did anyone else have any cool experiences when they asked about what their homework or what their assignment was? Okay, good. I'm not the only one.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I just fell in love with this team even more. Because I had talked to Lightstar about this amazing experience she had, and then I'm like, gosh, I suck. I have been tried.
No, you don't suck.
No, you
don't suck.
I didn't mean it that way. I'm just trying to make everyone laugh. That was fantastic. That was just an amazing story. I'm so inspired. My own heart is full of hope, which is what I needed, because I was like, I have been asking God, sitting on his lap, hugging, kissing him. I've been extra sweet to him to try and get an assignment out of him. I was given that my assignments right now have been on this earth, but listening to this message of hope has given me more hope about my future assignment. So thank you for sharing that. And thank you for everyone who was quiet about not getting anything.
I went to go see Father numerous times during that time, and I looked at him and said, what's the assignments? And he went, you got enough on your plate, boy. So maybe you have enough on your plate.
Thank you for
saying. And maybe you're actively already taking care of other things. It's not only going to be for eternity that he's giving us responsibilities for. I know a number of us are counseling people. We're trying to be a positive up link for some other people on the team that are having a difficult time. That's ministering. It doesn't necessarily have to be for a specific group or someone that's passed. We're all doing something. Even the people that we work with, whether we know it or not, by a kind word that we say or a smile or a joke, we're ministering unto people. It's not that complicated. So well done, everybody. Any other questions?
I have a prayer request, actually. It's for the District of Florida. There's some huge changes here. Apostle Hecht is retiring. The Florida West District Elder is retiring. The Florida West Shepherd is retiring. There's a whole bunch of priests and ministers retiring in Florida South. So we already know we got our shepherd. It'll be the shepherd from the South. He now will take over, but they don't have a shepherd down there. So Florida's huge. It's a huge district. It's spread out over like 8 hours of driving. So they're just put a prayer out that Father puts the right guys in place. There's really no apathy. Everything's going great. There's a lot of help. A lot of people are coming in, but there's just a lot of concern about who the higher reps are going to be, because there's, you know, who's going to place Apostle Hecht. I can't even think of any minister anywhere in the Eastern Seaboard that they would pick yet, but if you could just think about that, that'd be great, because it's all happening within 2018. Please.
Thank you. Sure can.
Thanks.
Anybody else? Any comments? Prayer requests?
I have a prayer request. This is Starlight. I have a job interview on Wednesday, so if you guys can pray for me, that'd be great.
Do you want it or not want it?
Congratulations.
I would like it. I would like it, because it would only be 15 minutes home rather than 50. So.
Awesome. We will.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Then my wife and I can eat dinner at 5:30 instead of 7. I'm just being selfish right there. I have that right.
What's dinner?
Yeah, the thing you microwave. Okay. I got to tell you, everyone, thank you for participating today. And even if you didn't think you were participating because you remained silent, you're still participating. I can feel your hearts. I can feel the smiles on your faces. I can feel the joy. I can feel the love. And that's what these meetings are about. And that's why Father said it's so important that we take this time out once a month for an hour. It's not that big a deal, but I appreciate everybody's efforts. Our next meeting has changed. The reason why it changed, it was my family and I are flying in. on the 8th from spring break, so I'm not going to have any access to any phone at that time. So that's why I changed it to the 15th, so I hope that's okay with everybody. I asked Atmos if he would pray after I pray, and if there isn't anything else, then I would like to pray with everybody.
Charlene, can I just ask something
yeah.
real quick? It's
sure.
Atmos. I'm just wondering if y'all wouldn't mind to remember my dad. It's his 60th birthday tomorrow, and a boring day would be a nice change for him.
You sure can.
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
I'll just share with the team, Tom has been getting tortured again, and it's been a big strain on the entire family. And Tranquility and Aquos have been sick, dealing with a bunch of things, and it's been anything but pleasant. So, yes, that was my birthday request for Tom, that Father would give him peace.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to throw out real quick before we go into prayer, we'll be over there in July for a wedding, Aquos. So I don't know if maybe we can help out any way we can. Please feel free to reach out to us and tell us what it is we can do when we get there. We would be happy to help.
That would be fantastic. And, you know, there's always a place to stay in Canada for you guys. I believe it's June, though, because I'll be at the same wedding.
Yes.
So I'll make sure you
cool.
stay in line, too.
Wonderful. Okay. Father of love, we as a team, we bow before you and we give our hearts. We show you, Father, everything that is us. Today's service was about how we can bear and hide nothing from you, but we have to bear our hearts. We have to show you what's inside us. We have to go to the bone sometimes and reveal to you how we feel. And that brings a smile to your face, because then we're not hiding anything. See the hearts of our teammates here, Father. It's been such a wonderful call. It was nice, Father, to hear your words too. They're always words of encouragement. And we appreciate, Father, that you take the time to teach us, to open our hearts, to even spend the time that you do with us during the meeting. You've been here in the room with us the entire time. It overwhelms us to think that God, the creator of everything, would take the time out to spend an hour with us, because we don't think we're anybody special. We know, Father, that we have a huge responsibility, and I'm speaking of the spouses too. We have such a work that is difficult to understand or comprehend at times, and it's even more difficult for us, Father, when we go through such a hardship time and again, over and over, and we can't even breathe, and we feel sometimes that the demons have their foot on our forehead and we can't even stand up, but we can see you. And we know that you know what our breaking point is, but sometimes, Father, it gets so difficult that we almost just want to give up, but we won't. And the reason we won't is because at any time we can reach out to you. We can reach out to our big brother, and we can reach out to any teammate and ask for help. That is a gift in itself. There have been many requests that have been brought out in this meeting that we had, Father, whether it's for financial situations, for job interviews, for health issues, for future situations, for concerns that were not even voiced. You know what they are, but we lay them out before you. We have such a beautiful, strong future, and it is through difficulty, Father, that we find who we are and what we're made of, which is why you test us all the time. But for our friend Tom, he celebrates his birthday, and we've been pleading with you for a week now that you will please be kind to him, that he could have some peace, that you will give extra strength to the family, that they know how to support him, and that you'll provide a blessing to him for all the things that he has done through his heart, through his faith, for others around him, that he is rewarded for those things openly. And we know he doesn't do anything for himself, and he won't ask anything for himself. So I'll ask for him that you will even come and give him a hug and let him know that you're there, and that all evil has to flee. It is just so debilitating sometimes, Father, when we think maybe we're all alone. And even the spirits around us try to convince us of this. It is not true. We are never alone. But there are times, Father, where we know that you have to test us to see what we're made of. And then when we come through the other end, you show us that we're stronger than we thought. But sometimes it's nice to have a break, too, so that we're not always being beat down. Provide your blessing on all the hearts that are here and those that were not able to make the call. If there was a secret question or desire, then we ask, Father, you'll please be kind to everybody. We pray for a blessing on our leadership in the church, that you will open their hearts to see the will that is yours, not theirs, and that you'll provide for HS to enlighten them and instruct them, that, Father, the church can move forward the way you wish it to be. But also, Father, we pray, too, for the leaders of our country. We appreciate, for both countries, we appreciate the peace that we're currently under, where there is a lot of things that are going on we're not even aware of, but you know them. There are wars that are taking place. There are hardships everywhere. We pray for the world. They are our responsibility. And we appreciate, Father, that you are giving us these gifts, these virtues, and these talents, that we can look at a human being a little bit different than we did even today when we leave tomorrow our homes and go out into this world. That we look at them as you do. Please let that live in our hearts. If there's something we've forgotten, Father, then I know you'll cover it. And as always, according to your will, we bow. And in your name we pray. Please hear us. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father,
Amen.
We come before you with our hearts wide open and pour them out in front of you. As we line in front of you as a team, holding hands, being one, we want you to know that we truly love you. And for the creator of this earth, as Triland said, and the creator of us, to have a little bit of faith in us is awesome. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And we thank you for the faith that you have in us to be your servants in this work. We ask that you would bless our paths. Please give the Holy Spirit that bullhorn, whatever tool it is he needs to get through to us as physical beings here in this world, as well as spiritual beings on the other side, Father. Allow him the tools he needs to get through to us quickly, cleanly, and efficiently, that we may do the will that you need us to do, the things you need us to do, Father. That's what we want to do. We pray once again, Father, for our friend Tom and for the Horn family. We pray that you would grant them peace, Father. May your peace be upon them all. May the dwellings that they are in, may you, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, reside in those places, and only you. May Tom's tormentors be turned away and their torment turned upon themselves. Allow him a break. Allow the family a break. We love them and we thank you for them, and we know that they are working hard for you, and we know that you see that. We just ask that if there is a lesson that still needs to be learned, that you would allow them to learn it quickly so that this may come to a stop. We place all that we are and all that we have in your hands. We thank you for it all, and we ask that you would help us to use it for you and your will. You have given us all so much, even though at times we think we have so little. Forgive us for that. We love you. We need you in our lives, and we thank you again for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, everybody.
Amen.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Have a great week and a wonderful month.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.